Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney. And Bob, here's what we've got.
What's happening?
Too much news for a half-hour broadcast.
All right, we better talk fast.
Way too much.
Let's talk as fast as we can. You know what?
Yes.
I think I'll talk a little bit slower than I know I need to. And if the audience will listen as quickly as they possibly can.
We should make it up.
We'll get through it.
Yeah. Now, first I want to address the crisis with Bob Enyart Live. From what I understand, some funds have come in.
Yeah, Friday, we were really in difficulty.
You were not going on the air Monday.
Today.
Yeah, we weren't going to be here today.
That's absolutely true. And we don't like to be the boy who cried wolf. And, you know, every so often say we're going to go off the air.
But if a wolf is literally at the door
and BEL, we don't have a mega church behind us, any big fund.
No.
And we literally go month to month. And when you end up paying the bills from the previous month.
Well, from what I understand, enough funds did come in to cover the bill from February, which is not the previous
the broadcast
month.
Bill from
that's
February.
That's the previous month.
Yeah, so we're so very thankful that we are on the air. But if anybody wants to help keep Bob Enyart Live on the air, please call 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278, or go online, KGov, KGOV.com, and help out and... Lord willing, we'll stay on the air.
Lord willing, and your loyal listeners have come through to avert the crisis.
Yeah.
But still about a month behind.
Yeah.
And that's not a comfortable position to be in. So if you can help, folks, we really need your help to keep this broadcast on the air.
Doug, this month we've been on the air 19 years this month, five days a week. And I tell you, a lot of Christian broadcast programs that are not funded by...
Right.
Christian universities or whatever, mega churches, they go on the air for 6 months, 2 years, 4 years. They go off the air and they end up owing $130,000 in back airtime bill. That's normal. And we have not done that. We've been on the air for 19 years without any major financial backer.
Nor have you compromised on the issues that could have possibly brought a major financial backer, like... The public schools.
Yeah, that's true.
Like speaking
out
on abortion.
Godless public schools. Right.
Right?
Right, exactly. All these
speaking
issues.
Speaking out against homosexuality.
Right.
Not
all
backing
these,
down.
Right. All these issues, trying to stay true to the truth, to God's word.
Right.
And it's been difficult, but we do not have, you know, 6 months of unpaid airtime bills.
No.
We don't have that.
Nor do we want that.
No, but we've been struggling, and so that struggle is... Month to month, week to week.
Yeah. And that's real.
It's very
real. So anyway, folks, we need your help, so help us out here.
If possible.
Yes, if it's at all possible.
Please do.
Now, way too much news. First, a prediction you made some years ago when the crime rate, particularly in New York City, began to decline significantly.
I remember the prediction.
I'm sure you do.
Because
you
made the prediction. Because I said it 100 times on the air. That what they did in New York and around the country is they doubled the number of inmates in jail and in prisons all over the country.
Right.
Nationwide, we went from about 1 million to about 2 million in a short period of time. And people said, wow, look at that. The crime rate's going down. Well, of course the crime rate was going down. Mm-hmm. You put another 1 million people in time out, but you have only postponed the crime because those people will get out, and when you put them in jail, they get worse. They don't get better.
Yeah.
And so we said eventually the jails will begin to release this torrent of criminals on our society.
Well, here we are, 2010, a report out this morning from the New York Times of all sources. Homicides are up nearly 22% in New York in 2010. Shootings are up 14%. And the New York Times says the tenor and the pace of this spasm of disorder that Manhattan in particular is experiencing, they say it's suggestive of a bygone era.
Bygone era.
Yeah, back 15 years ago, back when you made that prediction that if you lock up enough gangsters and thugs, you will get a temporary decline.
Right. You haven't really lowered the crime. You've just postponed it. If you postpone it... You're not really lowering it. Well, you could argue that you are, but you're not addressing the actual problem.
That's it. You're not addressing the core issue. And now the bill is coming due again. And now a whole new generation of criminals now has grown up while these other criminals were in jail.
Right. So Christians understand that you have to deter crime. Liberals want to make it so that you can't commit crimes.
Right.
And that's so ignorant. Mm. With terrorism, with generic crime. This failed strategy is make it so that they can't commit a crime. The proper strategy is make it so that they will not commit a crime because the consequences are fast and painful and actually horrendous.
Yeah, strike fear and terror into the heart of the evildoer.
Yeah, that's what the New Testament says.
That's the New Testament?
The New Testament.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, I just wanted to let you know that you're on.
It's sad. It's
folks,
sad
Bob Enyart knows what he's talking about, okay? Well, this is not something that you could have set up 15 years ago in advance or 12 years ago.
No, we're not making this stuff up as we go either. This all comes directly from biblical principles.
Right. So listen up, okay? Now here I got. Now this is just funny, okay?
All right.
We're gonna go from New York to Kenya.
Kenya.
There was a debate.
What is Barack Obama doing now? We're in Kenya.
There was a debate over a new draft of the Kenyan Constitution.
Yeah.
They're apparently debating a new constitution over there, and one of their members of parliament stood up and he said, "Well, there's an issue in Kenya because there are a lot of different." Ethnic groups that are trying to work together.
Right.
And so a Kenyan minister of parliament stood up and he said, if America was living in a situation where they feared ethnicity and did not see itself as a multi-party state or nation, how could a young man born here in Kenya, who is not even a Native American, become the president of America? That's what he said.
Oh, boy, that's a good one. All right, so now we have the country's minister of lands.
The minister of lands.
And a member of parliament.
Yeah.
Saying that Barack Obama, a young man, was a young man born here in Kenya. Usually when you're born, you're young.
Yes, usually.
So usually you're born when you're young.
About 9 months old, yeah.
Yeah, not, you know, so less than a year.
He's seconding Michelle Obama's comments from earlier.
Michelle Obama told the group of homosexuals she was speaking to, she said, well, Barack and I, we went to Africa. We went to his home country of Kenya.
Right.
We had a wonderful time. And then remember when Barack was first elected, his grandmother was interviewed and she said, oh, yeah, he was born in Kenya. I remember. And all the people who have said this is where Barack Obama was born in Kenya.
Right.
So and him not revealing, publicizing his original birth certificate.
Right.
It's funny.
It's funny. And it could turn out to be, bigger than I thought it could ever be. It's certainly been grist for the talk show.
And then
host,
the lieutenant colonel from Greeley, who has refused orders to go to Afghanistan.
That was an awesome interview, by the way.
His second tour. Thank you very much.
Great.
With his spokeswoman.
Yes.
He now went to the Pentagon today.
Uh-oh.
He thought, well, I'm going to go to work. I'm refusing orders, but I'm going to go to work.
Oh, so he was scheduled to ship out, but instead he went to his normal office, walked in.
And said, here I am.
So what do they do? Is it going to be like the Soviet Union where they just all walk around and ignore him like he doesn't exist?
Yeah, they say, well, that we pretend to work and they pretend to pay us in Moscow. So maybe he'll have it like that. He'll just walk around the Pentagon.
Colonel Lakin shows up and they just pretend he's not there.
Yeah,
he's a non-person.
From
maybe.
Coffee shop to coffee shop.
Well, you would think that Mr. Lakin is going to provoke some sort of confrontation unless the U.S. military is prepared to just abandon all discipline within the ranks. Because he did receive orders signed by the President of the United States.
Yeah.
And he's not obeying them.
Yeah. So
and they can't just cover their ears and eyes and say, la, 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 la.
This is interesting. And when Obama goes up for re-election, there are states that are trying to pass laws that say, if you want to be on the ballot for president, you have to show your birth certificate so that you can be certified to be a natural-born citizen.
Makes sense. I mean, you have to show your driver's license to get into certain clubs, right?
Yeah, my kids need their birth certificate to play hockey.
Yeah.
And getting scouts, it's just hysterical.
It's funny. All right.
It is funny.
But let's move from the ridiculous to more serious news.
All right.
There was a news article in the Minneapolis St. Paul newspaper, and they talk about personhood, which I know you're familiar with.
Yeah, personhood.
Let me give you the first line that caught my eye in the story.
All right.
They say that this particular group of anti-abortion activists wants to stretch the legal definition of a person to cover a freshly fertilized egg in a woman's...
Freshly. So they added freshly.
Right.
It's like in the dairy department of your local grocery store.
That's right.
Get fresh eggs and milk, cottage cheese.
Yeah. They've gone from a fertilized egg now to a freshly fertilized egg to make our position even that much more extreme. We're not only for fertilized eggs, we're for freshly fertilized eggs.
I mean, somebody could call Dred Scott a fertilized egg. They could do that.
Yeah.
They could say that and to try to stigmatize or to mock him and his effort to be recognized as a full human being with legal rights.
That's what that was all about, right?
Yeah, so they could mock him, of course. You know, that's what happens. But the term egg is in and of itself unscientific. The Carnegie Stages of Early Human Development, that's the world standard for the biological beginning of human life.
And Carnegie, not known as a foaming at the mouth pro-life organization.
No, quite the opposite. Yeah, the Carnegie Institute for Science.
Yeah.
And they say, look, would you drop the use of the term egg?
Yeah.
The term egg is for something on the breakfast table, okay?
Right.
Don't be an incompetent.
Right.
And that's from the Carnegie Institute for Science on their Carnegie Stages of Early Human Development. And, you know, Doug, this is a common thing. It's done in war, of course, where you want to dehumanize the enemy.
Yeah, so you call them krauts.
You call them krauts. That's
right?
Exactly right. Terms like japs and gooks are used to dehumanize the enemy so it's easier to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And the abortionists, you know, they used to say products of conception.
The famous POC.
POC, yeah. But I actually think they've stopped using that because of the Personhood Amendment.
Yeah.
Not that they've stopped, but they're pulling way back on mm-hmm. that because they don't want to admit that this baby is the product of conception.
Right. That gets them into that area where they have to discuss what is conception.
Right,
exactly. They don't like to discuss that.
So anyway, they like to use terms that will dehumanize these babies, and we're going to see it continue, of course. And we'll just continue to educate people the difference between a cell and an organism.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people in the media don't know the difference. They think
that's why you're here, Bob.
Yeah. So we'll continue to work on that.
And now we have to, speaking of educating, we need to educate some people in the pro-life industry.
Mm.
Here's what Missouri Right to Life, a statement, their statement on personhood, says, if the Personhood Amendment is meant to be a direct attack on Roe v. Wade, it is poorly advised.
Mm.
Direct attacks in law, as in war, lead to defeat if they are mounted in the wrong circumstance. It gains nothing to act without a strategy that has a decent chance of succeeding.
All right. Okay. So a few things on this, Doug. Those who are against the Personhood Movement in the pro-life industry, they've raised hundreds of millions of dollars fighting abortion, hundreds of millions, and they've overpaid attorneys, made attorneys multimillionaires, and they've got well-funded retirement programs, inflated salaries, and they seem to prefer strategies that are excellent fundraisers. That seems to be their ultimate commitment, is what kind of strategy, like the partial birth abortion ban, like that fiasco took 15 years. It never had the authority to stop a single abortion, and it brought in over $250 million to the pro-life industry.
Mm-hmm.
National Right to Life, AUL, Focus on the Family, and so on. $250 million, and Dr. Dobson said after it passed, he said, ending partial birth abortion does not save a single human life, unquote.
And the entire pro-life community seems to have missed that statement. It's as if he never said it. It's bizarre.
And of course, here at Bob and Your Life, American Right to Life, American Life League, Personhood USA, all these groups have been shouting this for as long as we've been in existence, that this is a fraud. Why didn't these pro-life leaders come up and say, hey, we need to analyze our PBA strategy, because guess what? It's a failed strategy. It's not going to stop a single scheduled abortion. But they didn't, because they saw it as a huge financial boon, which it was.
Yeah.
And so they're afraid of losing control of the fight. That's what they're afraid of. They're entrenched money and power bases, and they want to protect their mailing list, their funds, their flow of funds. And so personhood, what's with that? That wasn't invented in their backyard, so they're going to oppose it.
Well, and that's much more devastating to the movement than our obvious adversaries like NARAL, You want to hear what the statement NARAL had to say about personhood to this Minneapolis paper?
Yeah.
They said the personhood forces are using rhetorical deception because their amendments don't use the word abortion. They call it a backdoor way of banning abortion.
Yeah, and what's so fun about that is here in Colorado, Gualberto Garcia Jones, one of the co-sponsors with Leslie Hanks, said, to make it very clear, some people think we're trying to deceive the public.
Right.
To make it crystal clear, we're here to stop abortion.
Right.
We're here to stop abortion. In 2008, that was one of the mistakes of the personhood campaign, Doug. They thought they could be ambiguous and not clear about what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
And said, well, we're just trying to lay a foundation, and people are thinking, well, a foundation for what?
Yeah.
And so that was a big mistake, not to just come right out, be forthright, and say, of course we're trying to stop the killing of innocent children. Hey, Doug, on them saying that it's a mistake, a frontal attack on Roe v. Wade.
Right. It's a mistake.
Yeah, American Right to Life has a major new resource on informing pro-life strategy, the Dred Scott Shepherdization.
Shepherdization?
Yeah, Dred Scott has been shepherdized.
Is that where you cover it with mashed potatoes, like shepherd's pie?
No.
No?
This is very different. No, you don't take the Dred Scott decision and cover it with mashed potatoes. No.
Well,
this is where, to shepherdize a ruling, a Supreme Court ruling, you take every subsequent reference to that ruling, and you list them and you analyze them. And so a law firm in Indiana did this pro bono for American Right to Life. There have been 56 references to Dred Scott by the Supreme Court in the last 150 years. And, Doug, they are not repentant. They are not humble. They've never recognized that ruling, which was a crime against humanity.
And that's generally agreed to by both liberals and conservatives.
Everybody agrees that Dred Scott was a horror.
Right.
And that millions of blacks could be owned as property.
Mm-hmm.
Such an atrocious ruling. And when the Supreme Court references its own ruling, they're typically neutral or even positive. Well, look what we said in Dred Scott. In Dred Scott, we said this, and this is a really good argument, and so on.
Wow.
And so we've shepherdized it to point out they have no humility. They have never acknowledged that their Dred Scott decision was illegitimate.
Hmm.
Never. They've never acknowledged that it was unjust, that it was a crime against humanity. And so you have not only pride, but institutional pride you're working against. If you're waiting for the U.S. Supreme Court to say, well, you know what? We think we were wrong.
Yeah.
50 million kids have been slaughtered and it was a mistake. We're sorry. We're going to reverse ourselves. National Right to Life will be waiting another 150 years before they realize that strategy is a failure.
But that is their current strategy.
That's their strategy.
That is their current strategy. And they say that personhood lacks is being attempted under the wrong circumstances and without a strategy. How many times for 40 years do you bang your head against a wall hoping that the Supreme Court will repent before you realize that maybe your strategy is wrong?
Yeah, the National Right to Life has based their strategy for victory on abortion on the Supreme Court being humble.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen in our lifetime, maybe in the history of the world. It's not going to happen.
So let me ask
until
you this,
the Lord
Bob,
returns.
What's the hope of the personhood movement? Because our adversaries within the pro-life industry says that this a state amendment, number one, will not supersede federal law, and number two, it will certainly be overturned. So what's the point?
The point is we are going to run over the Supreme Court with a bulldozer.
Mm.
It is going to become irrelevant. The force of history and the outrage of people saying these children are being slaughtered by Planned Parenthood and the Democrats and Republicans who are against personhood, and it's going to stop. We would still be waiting for the Supreme Court to reverse Dred Scott if that was our strategy.
Mm-hmm.
That is not our strategy. These justices are immoral, and their pride will stop them from pointing out their own illegitimacy.
I'm just anxious to see what happens when the first state passes a personhood law. I'm just anxious to see what happens.
Yeah, Doug, and we're going to get right. And Jill Stanek pointed that out. She said, you know, I'm not sure exactly how this will play out, but having a state putting a personhood amendment in their constitution? She said, that's a great problem to have. Yeah. I'd like to have that problem.
Yeah, let's go ahead and let's see what happens.
And somewhere there's going to be a governor who has the courage to say, we're going to protect babies in our state. The U.S. Supreme Court has no authority to tell us we have to let children be slaughtered in our state.
That's right. And amen. That's what it's about, is inspiring leadership.
Right.
Inspiring leadership with the truth.
Not saying if you wait 24 hours, you can kill the baby. If you think the baby has pain, can feel pain, then you can't kill the baby. You can. Here's how you kill the baby. Here's when. That's not leadership.
No.
That confuses the issue and makes abortion look more reasonable.
Have you heard about the Nebraska bill that's going to be signed anytime? There's a new bill in Nebraska that seeks to regulate the murder of people.
Right.
And they want to make abortion illegal after 20 weeks because they say after 20 weeks we think the fetus can feel pain.
Right.
And here's what National Right to Life had to say about this Nebraska abortion regulation. The Mary Spalding Balsh of the National Right to Life Committee said, this bill is about recognizing that the state has an interest in an unborn child who is capable of feeling pain.
They should have ended that sentence earlier, Doug.
Earlier?
Yeah. Reread it, and I'll tell you when they should have ended it.
This bill is about recognizing that the state has an interest in an unborn child.
Period. They should have ended it right there.
Right there.
Because this is another regulation, and the regulations on child killing, they prune the abortion weed and strengthen its root. National Right to Life is carrying the water for the abortion industry. The abortion industry, they don't really have the self-control to regulate themselves,
right,
make themselves look better.
Mm-hmm.
And so National Right to Life comes along and takes the thing that they're doing that looks the worst.
Say partial birth abortion,
yeah,
or abortion, late-term abortion.
Partial birth abortion, they say, you can't do it that way any longer.
Right.
You have to inject the baby with poison and kill it before you take it out, because when you take it partway out and kill it, it looks really bad. So the abortion industry fights a bit, not too much.
Yeah.
They fight a bit.
Well, they both sides raise funds off these.
Yeah, and Planned Parenthood realizes, look, this looks horrendous, partial birth abortion. Right. We're really better off if Carhartt stops doing partial birth abortions, and up in Boulder, Colorado, if we stop doing those kind of abortions, we have better PR to the public.
Mm.
And the Supreme Court ruled that way. They said, look, the baby might suffer even more, the fetus, without partial birth abortion. But this is for the image of the abortion industry, so we're going to uphold this. So National Right to Life, with their abortion regulations, they push abortions to happen earlier, often to be more painful, to be more hidden from public view.
Right.
And it all makes abortion more humane. It makes it look more humane and palatable to the public and to our government.
So our greatest pro-life victory, or I should say National Right to Life's greatest pro-life victory of the past 15 years, turns out to be just a method for putting a nicer face, a happier face on the local abortionist.
That's exactly right. And these regulations end with, and then you could kill the baby. So as Dr. Charles Rice of Notre Dame has pointed out so eloquently, whenever people stand up and advocate for laws that say, and then you could kill the baby, they're undermining the belief in the right to life, the personhood of the child. Because he said, if it's a person, you can't wait 24 hours and kill it. You can't do it.
No.
So you're convincing our own federal judges that we put in office, that Republicans put in office, that the baby's not a person. The government has the right to regulate how to kill it.
And the rank and file pro-lifer has been deceived now for so long that many of them don't understand, and they've lost their way as well.
They don't get it. So it'll be another 40 years if we continue to regulate child killing, and Planned Parenthood will look more and more reasonable.
Yeah.
So we have to expose the wickedness of child killing regulations, and part of that is the financial addiction of the pro-life industry to the millions that they get fighting these phony battles. The money comes rushing in, and then they go to the next child-killing regulation.
And so, folks, if you want to be a part of stopping that, go to AmericanRightToLife.com right now and take the money that you thought you might send to the abortion regulators and send them to American Right to Life. Bob, I want to move on to something just ridiculous and stupid in light of what we've been talking about. But perhaps you can make, perhaps you can draw some value out of it. It's a story about PETA. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. You're familiar with them. They've asked the federal government to shut the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus, accusing them of elephant torture.
Ooh.
And listen to what they say.
That's not nice.
No, elephant torture is not. That's an ugly thing.
Yeah.
They say they've amassed 700 pages of documents, videos, and photos alleging a history of abuse amongst our pachyderm brethren there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Doug, PETA, you know, they, when you elevate the rights of animals, you denigrate the rights of human beings.
Yeah.
And so they will protect a bug, literally, rats, fetal pigs, but they advocate the killing of children, boys and girls, in the womb, sucking their thumbs, playing with their toes.
Yeah, and so, what about the pages of documents and videos shot by Lila Rose and others and photos that define what abortion is and what the industry is.
And a lot of people who give to PETA because they love animals, oh, look at that cute little animal, they don't realize that they're giving to an organization that's trying to undermine Christianity, the gospel of Jesus Christ, by worshiping the creature rather than the creator. And they will undermine God and his truth as they worship bugs and dirt.
And these PETA people have a lot of energy, and they raise a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
And if they were simply instructed in the way they should go, perhaps they could direct their energy toward doing something that actually uplifted the lives of mankind in general. But instead, they're defending elephants.
Yeah, you know, you recall that PETA did things like they were against killing rats in New York City.
Are they against elephants stepping on rats, or they're against killing rats?
Well, they wanted to
that's right. They didn't want to kill them in the apartment and tenement buildings.
They wanted to catch the rats and give them birth control. PETA President Ingrid Newkirk said there's no rational basis for saying that a human being has special rights.
Wow.
And she said a rat is a pig, is a dog, is a boy. Man. A rat is a pig, is a dog, is a boy. So rats have rights is what the PETA members were screaming at CBS a while back.
Yeah.
I remember. And they want to not exterminate rats, but catch them and give them birth control.
Oh, kind of like what Margaret Sanger and her ilk wanted to do with all those freed slaves back at the first part of the 20th century.
Yeah.
Don't kill them, just catch them and give them birth control. But now they just want to kill them. Have you seen Moffa 21 yet?
Not yet.
You've got to see that.
It's
you will
good,
not
huh?
regret it. It will blow you away.
All right.
Thank you for
it.
Turning me on to it.
All right. You're welcome. Thank you out there in the audience. Our website is kgov.com. Please check out at American Right to Life's website, the Dred Scott Shepherdization. It'll blow your mind. And Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school.